You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tammy, we're talking about the 25 myths that broke people believe. And if anybody wants to see our blog post on this, visit our website at doughaldeman.com, doughaldeman.com. So 25 myths that broke people believe. What are your thoughts so far?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting because, I mean, as you mentioned earlier in the segment previous, Dave Ramsey came up with this article, and his definition, broke or poor, what's the difference? And he mentions that poor is an attitude and broke is just something we're passing through. And I really do like how that thought process is, because it is just temporary. But, and I've caught myself saying some of the things that we've gone over so far. And
right, because Donald Trump has gone broke before.
Yeah.
But he was never poor.
No, well, yeah, and he just keeps coming back. And I think we've talked about limiting beliefs before, and it is. It really holds a person back when you just feel like you can't afford anything. I've been talking with my coworker at work a little bit because she's always saying that she doesn't have any money. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. And I'm trying to get her to kind of understand that, you know, if you can shift your attitude towards it or change your way of thinking that I currently can't afford this, or, you know, change it into more open,
temporary thinking.
Yeah, temporary thinking. Like, it's an open door, that it's just a temporary thing. And she's appreciated that so far, but she's still caught in the trap of with the attitude that she's poor. So,
well, and some people that don't have any money should have that attitude to a certain degree, mm-hmm. so that they don't go spend money they don't have.
Yeah, yes.
But they can make it a temporary thing if they want to by finding a way out of it.
Right, and there is a way. I know this job market is really tough right now. And a lot of people are struggling with that. There's something that can be done. We can, you know, help one another out with that.
So we've covered 1 through 13 already, and let's jump back into our list, because the next mm-hmm. section is something I deal with a lot, and it covers debt's not so bad, right?
Well, you know, that can be confusing, because you recommend that we go out and get some credit cards, but then what people are maybe not thinking about is how they're spending on those credit cards.
Right.
You're not suggesting that they go spend it all up in one day. It's a little different. So number 14 is, if everyone stopped borrowing money, the economy would fail.
I love that. I think that's that one cracks me up, because, you know, it's kind of like, if nobody bought new cars, there wouldn't be any used cars on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, I agree with that as a whole, but let somebody else be the sucker.
Let someone else buy the new car.
Right.
First.
Let someone else buy the new car, or let if everyone stopped borrowing money, the economy would fail. Or if everyone stopped spending money, the economy would fail, because that is a big driver. And the government will encourage us to go spend money, because that's the economic wheel that keeps us going.
Right.
But let that happen for people as a whole, but not for you.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to go spend money. It's not your job to keep our economy afloat personally.
Right. And number 15, I must be able to afford it. I was approved for the loan.
So. That's great. This used to be much more true than it is today, but it's still true today, because it's the difference between approvability and affordability.
Right.
That frequently I can get somebody approved for a loan that they can't afford.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's up to them to know what is the payment they can afford, and show some discipline to not let yourself get in a situation where you take on more debt than you can afford.
Right. And that's where I love your coaching process that you go through with people, because you really do help them figure out the whole big picture of where it can lead them. If they're willing to listen, that's
right.
Another thing.
So. Yeah, if they're willing to listen. And right. I get some people that listen really, really well, and I know that I've changed a lot of lives from my advice. But I also know there are a lot of people that are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah,
things are so ingrained that they don't really want to change their habits.
Right.
And they don't ever want to get over these 25 myths that broke people believe.
Right.
So number 16 on the list is, I need a house payment for tax purposes.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say that, but maybe it's out there.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say it that don't you know, they have the advice, don't ever pay off your house because you need the tax deduction.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard that.
Okay,
yeah.
So and there is some merit to that, but you have to be really careful there because, you know, it's do you want to go spend a dollar to be able to save 25 cents?
Right. Okay?
And it's the same thing, you know, that people say about Uncle Sam taking it from him, and we're going to cover that in just a minute. So that's – those last three are under the debt's not so bad mm-hmm. category. Next, this is more the entitlement section. Okay, I earned this mm-hmm. is what we'll call this section.
And number 17, you're only one young once, right?
You're only young once, right? Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it while we're still young.
Right.
If we can't afford it.
Yep, I've had a couple friends that have, you know, done this. They've done this next one, which is, but we're on vacation. They couldn't really afford to go on vacation, came back and were unable to meet their bill commitments. And, you know, she's calling me upset. And I'm like, well, you know, I had a lot to say that I wanted to say, but, you know, it's the path of pain that they had to go through.
Right, right. Yeah, so that was number 18 is, but we're on vacation. Right. Boy, we do see that a lot, people overspending on vacation when they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to take a vacation, put it into your budget and start putting money away on a monthly basis mm-hmm. Or designate your tax refund for it or designate something for it. But it needs to be a pre-designated amount to buy the vacation and a pre-designated amount that you're going to spend when you're on vacation.
Right.
You don't have to get souvenirs for everybody you know when you're on vacation and bring an extra suitcase with you just to pack them all in there. Right?
Right, right. So number 19.
Yeah, number 19.
I worked hard and I deserve it.
Yes, definitely falls in the entitlement category. I work hard, I deserve it.
Right. You know, I've heard that quite a bit.
But you see this a lot even with busy families where both parents work and you're exhausted when you come home and nobody wants to cook, so they go out and eat all the time.
I feel like I've been doing that.
Well, I counseled a couple the other day and I told them, I know it's difficult, but if you're going to go out to eat off the dollar menu or find a cheaper way to do it. Mm-hmm. You can't keep going out to eat and just getting whatever the heck you want every time you go out and eat, or you'll spend a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It catches up really fast.
Or there's so many other things that people say, I work hard, I deserve it, mm-hmm. with little luxuries, whether it's the the smartphone that they buy,
right.
That they always have to upgrade even when their contract's not ready to get it for free, or the next laptop or the next latest, greatest thing that people overspend on because they feel like they deserve it. They're entitled to it.
Right, right. Here's the next one. Next section, as you're saying, poor, pitiful me. The little violin playing.
Yes, world's smallest violin. Right. I think I hear it in the background. Well, number 20 with that on the poor, pitiful me is, why make more money? Uncle Sam will just take it all away.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's a funny one, isn't it? Is it? You know, it's going to put me up in the next tax bracket if I make more money.
Right, right.
Without even knowing how marginal tax brackets work, that you only pay the higher tax bracket when you're in that income range.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay it all the way back to dollar one.
Right, right. That's a good point.
I don't want to go make an extra dollar because Uncle Sam's going to take 35 cents of it.
Right.
Or even 39 cents of it. Where's the logic in that?
I don't know. So number 21. The little man can't get ahead.
Oh, man. That's definitely a poor, pitiful me victim statement right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little guy can just never get ahead in this world.
This is so hard to communicate, but we kind of create our own reality with that thought process. If we feel like we can't get ahead, guess what?
You can't get ahead.
You can't get ahead.
Absolutely. There's no way out of that. Right. If that's what you reinforce in your brain, there's no way out of it. And I can tell some stories of how, you know, like people will think you have to have money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there are ways to create money or create leverage with other people that you don't even have to have your own money sometimes. So
right.
People just have to be careful with the story that they tell themselves.
Right.
Number 22 on the list, if I earn too much, I'll lose my public assistance.
Right.
Okay, and this is definitely the welfare story.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's scary to jump up because you have, and we were just talking about this kind of with us, just the consistent income. you kind of hold yourself back from moving forward because you're the fear you may have of losing that assistance.
Well, and we don't get the public assistance, obviously, but just
no,
I can see how somebody on a really low income, and this is
My sister's been there, and you know, I've had some friends there. It's scary to jump to the next level, but man, once they break through that wall and that thinking, it just opens up so much more.
Well, it's part of the problem with our government, you know, propping everybody up though, is that they, you know, they want to keep sucking on that nipple forever and can't ever get off of it.
Right.
You know, I see it with unemployment. For somebody that's lower income, if they can make $1,250 a month on unemployment, they're going to, you know, they go out and get a cash job on the side so they can keep sucking the unemployment and they're not going to go get a job where they actually have to work to make about what they're making in unemployment.
Right.
It's just counterintuitive that people won't do it. They have to cut people off at some point.
And that gets me started on, you know, when Franklin Roosevelt created that program, it was just temporary. It was just a temporary situation, and it just became law, basically.
Right. So that's our victim section, the poor, pitiful me. And next, the next section is, no worries, I'm covered. Right?
Yeah, because I have my rich grandparents.
Right. That's number 23 on the list. My rich grandparents are going to leave me money.
Oh, wait. They left me debt.
Well, and it's, I could do a whole section just on this with inheritances and how it's not a gift, it's a curse. Because I've seen so many people that will wait to start their life, wait to start their accomplishments because they're waiting for somebody to kick the bucket and pass money down to them. And it just enables them to never do anything on their own. So if you're going to leave money to, like if you're going to leave money to your grandkids or leave money to your kids, don't tell them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Make them think you're going to donate it all to charity and find out something different whenever they read your will and they're happily, you know, they're pleasantly surprised versus sitting there waiting around to get money. And don't let yourself fall into that if you're listening right now and you think you're going to get an inheritance. Number 24, I can't afford insurance. Yeah, but hey, my weed eater has a 3-year extended warranty. I love that.
I do too. That's funny because I mean, how many times I reject that extended warranty in the checkout line?
Oh yeah, and we should. We should reject those extended warranties. But you know, people think they can't afford regular insurance,
right.
But they'll get it on their phone, on the screen. They'll get it on all kinds of things, on products with warranties that they don't keep. They don't know where to even access the information half the time to even use the warranty.
True.
It's definitely a money loser right now.
All right, drum roll.
Number 25 out of the 25 myths that broke people believe. Number 25 on the list is, it's okay, I have overdraft protection.
Yes.
Oh man, that's painful.
I worked for a bank, and they started that program, and I just cringed at the thought. Because my biggest fear, and I did get to witness this, is the older people that as you get older, it just you're on fixed income, and this overdraft confused the elderly so much, and they can't afford that. It's just crazy.
Well, and I'll just say on that, I mean, because we have to analyze bank statements, and when people are applying for a mortgage, if you have overdrafts, especially if it records as NSF, so non-sufficient funds.
Right.
You probably won't end up getting a mortgage.
And probably not.
It's a curse.
Is the biggest number you've ever seen? I can't remember.
So the biggest number I've ever seen, because some bank statements will track what the year-to-date NSF charges are or overdraft charges. I had a couple with over $10,000 in NSF charges in 1 year.
Oh,
and I hate to even
gosh.
Say that number because someone else who's at 500 may think that they're in good shape compared to that, but 500 is ridiculous.
Right.
10,000 is really ridiculous.
That is.
It should be so painful anytime you get one. And I don't think you should even let yourself have overdraft protection.
Right.
You should have a bills account that maybe has overdraft protection. But on your expense account, if you have a debit card, don't get overdraft protection because then that $5 cup of coffee tax on the $15 overdraft fee. And now it's a $20 cup of coffee.
Right.
And people do it over and over and
they
over.
Do.
And they're trying to stall until that next paycheck. Whenever they can get some more money in the account, and it continues the cycle of being a broke person.
Right, it does.
They can never get out of being broke. So if you need advice on your finances, okay, if you know, especially when it comes to having the mortgage as a tool in how you deal with your debts, reach out to me, 314-472-DUG. Again, it's 314-472-DUG, D-O-U-G, 3684 are the numbers. You can text me. You can call me. You can visit my website anytime at doughaldeman.com, doughaldeman.com. And we just talked about the 25 myths that broke people believe. Why don't more renters end up buying homes? Coming up, we'll tell you the results of our survey of 318 renters and how our Path to Buy program helps them form a plan. You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.